Joshua chapter number 7 this morning, Joshua chapter number 7, and if you will, look with us. I've been preaching just as the Lord directed us here out of this chapter, and I want to close it out this morning here in Joshua chapter number 7, and look with me in verse number 16, Joshua 7 and verse 16. The Bible says, "So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. And after they had stoned him with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day, so the Lord returned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." Father, Lord, we do want to thank you for your blessings on our life. Thank you for the good singing that we've heard this morning, for the presence of God that has been in this place already. And I pray now that, Lord, you would give us liberty. Help us to preach what you've laid on our hearts. Speak to every soul this morning. And may the will of God be done. Lord, we know that nothing takes you by surprise. And Lord, we know that you ordered this service this morning the way that you would have it. And we pray, God, that you get glory and honor. Now, in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice with me in this text here that Joshua is about to have to do what no man in leadership wants to do, and that is to deal with sin. You know, it's hard enough to deal with your own sin, but Joshua's going to have to deal with the sins of others. And I don't think people think about that oftentimes when it comes to a man of God and it comes to leadership in the church, is that, you know, it is hard to deal with our own sin in our life. We have to be honest, and we have to be open with God about our sin, but it's even more difficult when you have to deal with somebody else's sin. I'll tell you why. Now, someone that likes to gossip or likes to talk, they like to point out other people's sin. Amen. And I'll tell you, if you walk with God and you love God, you know how you are. You know how big of a sinner you are. You know how you fail God. And Joshua in this text realizes that even had he prayed earlier, not only is Achan responsible for the lives of 36 men that are dead, but Joshua feels responsible, because Joshua realizes had he prayed before he went to Ai, God would have told him and these men's lives would have been saved. And what I'm saying to you is, it is hard as a man of God to deal with sin in the life of other people, because you realize who you are. You realize what you're made of. But if this text teaches us anything this morning, it simply teaches us this, is that we ought to take this text and we ought to consider this text in light of what the Bible has to say about sin. Amen? You see, when I think about verses of Scripture throughout the Word of God that deals with sin, it always brings me back to this text here. You say, what do you mean, Brother Gravely? Well, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible said, for the wages of sin is what? It's death. Amen? Doesn't that bring you back to this passage that we have read this morning? I think about in Romans or in Ezekiel chapter number 18 and verse number 4, the Bible said, the soul that sinneth shall surely
really die. Amen. Again, it brings us back to this text here. I think about Numbers 32 and verse number 23, where the Bible says, to be sure, your sins will find you out. Doesn't that bring you right back to our text this morning? And then in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall not prosper. Amen. I'm telling you what Achan did was he stole this garment. He stole this silver. He stole this gold. But in the end, it didn't prosper him anything. I'm telling you, friend, that's what sin will do in your life. There may be a little bit of pleasure in it for a season, but sin does not come with a prize. Sin comes with a price. Amen. And the price that you pay will be far more than what you want to. I'm telling you, there's a high cost for low living. Amen. And that's what Achan is doing in this text here. I want you to notice three things this morning, and I'll give you these three things, and I'll be done. Number one, I want you to see the servant. Amen. Look with me in verses 16 through 19 and notice the servant here. I want us to consider Joshua, and I'm preaching this morning on this subject on be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. Be sure this morning that your sins will find you out. Now let's think about the servant for just a few moments here. I want you to notice Joshua's diligence in verse 16. The Bible said, so Joshua rose up early in the morning. Amen. You see, he's been given orders. He's been given instructions. Amen. By God. Joshua, on tomorrow, here's what the problem is. Here's how you've got to deal with it. And this is what you've got to do. And when we come to verse 16, you'll notice the diligence of Joshua in the fact that he rises up early in the morning. He doesn't waste any time when it comes to dealing with sin. And friend, can I tell you this morning, when you and I have sin in our life, we've got to have diligence about it. We must deal with it swiftly, and we must deal with it immediately. Amen. Joshua doesn't wait till the sun. He doesn't wait till later on in the day. He doesn't linger in dealing with this. I think one of the reasons is because he knows that God wants him to deal with it swiftly, and God wants us to deal swiftly with our sin. If God deals with you about sin this morning or me, the best thing we can do is be like Joshua and respond. Amen. I'm telling you, another reason I think Joshua did it was because he just wanted to go ahead and get it over with. Amen. I can say that as a man of God, when sin's got to be dealt with in the church, I just see him go ahead and deal with it and get it over with. If I had any advice for a young pastor, when sin enters the church, don't waste any time. Amen. Because it's not going to get better. It's not going to go away. It'll grow like a cancer in the church. You don't want to deal with it now, but you're sure not going to want to deal with it later. Amen. And so Joshua, we see his diligence. And then we see Joshua's detail. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 16, verse 17. And he brought, notice this, the family of Judah. And he took the family of Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahite man by man, and Zabdi was taken. You notice in that text there the detail that Joshua is going by tribe, and then he's going by family, and then he's going man by man. I'm telling you, Joshua is using great detail. What does that mean? It simply means this, that when we deal with sin, God doesn't want us to deal with our sin in a general aspect, but God wants us to go line upon line. He wants us to go piece by piece. He wants us to deal with sin as it is to be dealt with. Amen. I've seen a lot of people come to the altar and come all the way down to the brink of the river to get right with God and never come really clean. Friend, I want to tell you this morning, if we deal with our sin, we're going to have to be detailed in it. It's ugly. It's wicked. It's ungodly. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, you're going to have to tell God what you did. Amen. You say, well, he already knows. I know that. He don't need the information, but we need the confession. Amen. You'll see that later. Achan didn't just generalize what he did, but he told every single aspect of what he did. Now, you don't need to tell us everything you've done, but you do need to tell God everything you've done. Amen. I notice the servant here, how detailed Joshua is in dealing with sin. You know, this Bible is detailed when it comes to dealing with sin. And there's a lot of people wants us to think, well, you know, the Bible isn't ain't clear about this, and the Bible ain't clear about this and that, you know, and you can do kindly this and that because there's no black and white chapter and verse or precept on this. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to live for God and you want to be right with God and you got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you and the Word of God in your hand, you mark her down. When it comes to dealing with sin in my life and yours, God is going to deal with every dirty detail. Amen. He's going to get down where the rubber meets the road. Amen. I see Joshua's detail. I see Joshua's determination. Look at verse number 18 here. The Bible said he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah was taken. Amen. I'm telling you, Joshua isn't letting up. He is going to deal with this until he turns it up. He is going tribe by tribe. He's going family by family. He is going man by man. I'm telling you, he's going to keep on going until he finds where this sin is. God knows where it is, but God's man isn't going to quit. I'm going to tell you, a man of God that loves God and loves people, he'll preach, amen, on sin. He won't leave a stone unturned. He won't worry about each family. Hey, I'm talking about deep pockets. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about his own family. When he gets up to preach, he'll divorce himself from public opinion, and thank God he will be determined to deal with sin. Amen. One of the hardest things about being a pastor is that sometimes it is shocking the people that get off into sin in the church, and then the connection that they have in the church. Sometimes it can be a temptation to a pastor to look the other way because of who it is. Maybe they've got a large family in the church. Maybe they give a lot of money to the church. Maybe this morning they have all kinds of talent and ability. But I'm going to tell you, a man of God has to be determined to deal with sin. Y'all with me this morning? I'm talking about, listen, you say, Brother Gravely, how's it going to affect the church? I don't know how it's going to affect the church when you deal with families, but I know one thing. If you don't deal with sin, it will affect the church far more. Amen. It'll eat your church up. Amen. There's going to be heartbreak. There's going to be tears. You hope you can salvage everything you can, but in the end, there's got to be a determination. Hey, I don't care if it's my family, your family. I don't care if it's our children. I don't care if it's our grandchildren. I'm telling you, if we want God's blessing on us, and if we want God's blessing on them, guess what? We're going to have to deal with sin. Amen. I see Joshua's determination. I see Joshua's directness. Look at verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Joshua comes before Achan, and I see here the servant. I see his directness. It's very clear. It's very canon. It's very open. Amen. Joshua doesn't pull any punches when he stands before Achan. He doesn't try to water it down. He said, I want you to tell me, you give glory to God. You tell me what you've done and don't leave anything out. Tell me all that you've done and don't hide anything from me. Amen. I tell you, don't you appreciate going to church? Don't you appreciate, I'm men of God. I think about down through the years that have preached to my soul. I'm glad they didn't call the message. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad they didn't water it down. I'm glad they didn't sugarcoat it up. Can I get an amen right there? I'm telling you, I want to go to church where somebody's going to preach on sin. I don't want to be blistered every service, amen, but I don't want it to be gumdrops and lollipops, amen, and Candyland every time we get up, friend. You say why? Because I know how wicked this flesh is. I'm telling you, I need encouragement, but I tell you, I need a man of God to take that old black back book and straight deliver it across the pulpit and preach on sin, amen. I tell you what it'll do. It'll put a holy fire in your soul. It'll put, my friend, a fear of God in your heart. It'll drive some steel down in your soul to make you want to live holy and live right. You say, Brother Gravely, are you holy? I'm not as holy as I need to be or want to be, but I want to live for God, don't you? I want to go to church. Where if there's something wrong in my life, I thank God he's going to deal with sin. Amen. I see the servant. Then I see not only the servant, but look at verse 20. I see the sinner. I want you to notice Achan in this text here. Look at Achan's explanation. Look at him in verse number 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a good Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of the tent of my tent and the silver under it. I see his explanation. And in this text here, what I want to say about Achan is that we notice is that Achan does not hold back. He comes honest and he comes clean and he tells everything that he did. You know, when you've done things, we've all sinned against God. But I think you'll agree with me this morning that this is a very gross sin. It's took the lives of 36 men. It's caused Israel to lose a battle. It's hindered the army of God. And Joshua knows, and Achan even knows, I'm not going to get by with just a little lay me down to sleep. I'm sorry. Amen. Achan comes clean before God. He tells everything that he has done. I'm telling you this morning, we could have revival if people would get back to old time repentance. Amen. You don't hear a lot of preaching on repentance anymore. And I'm telling you, you can't have revival without repentance. Amen. I like to shout and I like to run in the aisles. I like to glory to God. Amen. And I'm telling you, friend, we've got to get right with God. Amen. We got to do business with God. You'll never have a real revival without repentance. That means a pastor's got to get right and repent. That means the members have got to get right and repent. That means we got to come clean before God and say, Lord, I've sinned here and I've sinned there. You can't sweep it under the rug. You can't talk about somebody else's sin. You can't blame it on somebody else. You got to be clean and honest and open before God. That's what weighs the church down. Just like it hindered them, it hinders us. People won't repent, get mad at somebody, stay mad at them for 6 months and still come to the choir and sing and shout like everything's all right. You know that's sin. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. You know, I'm talking about get off into something, you know, that good and well it's not right. Maybe looking at things on the internet you ought not be looking at. Maybe buying lottery tickets, and you know good and well Christians don't gamble. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hold your bladder this morning. It'll be all right. I'm just telling you, friend, listen, go to church and know good and well. Listen, you hide from the preacher. Amen. You know, we got so many exits out here, and it's amazing. Some people's like Houdini. Amen. They can find a way out. Amen. You know why it is? I'm going to tell you. Look up here at me this morning. I'm not your problem. Sister Gravely's not your problem this morning. I'm telling you, I know how it goes. It comes with the territory. I'm fully aware of what I'm preaching this morning. People love you when they're right with God. But when sin gets in their life, amen, they'll avoid you like they got leprosy. You know why? Because that's what sin does this morning. Drives you out. I'm talking about, I mean, just the common fact this morning. If I got off into sin, I wouldn't want to see you neither. I don't think I'd want to be around Brother Laddie. I don't think I'd want to be around Brother Danny. So, Brother Gravity, you sin? Oh, I sin. I have to ask God for forgiveness every day. But I know this morning that if I was to get off into something that I got no business being in, the only way I'm ever going to have any victory is to repent over it. I can't blame other people. I can't say it's other people's fault. No, I got to own my sin. Achan, in this verse, his explanation is, I'm guilty. He owned his sin. Oh, we could have revival. I see the sinner. I see his explanation. I see his exposure. Look at verse number 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it, and they took them out of the midst of the tent. Notice this, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Can you imagine this scene this morning? Here's Achan and his family standing here. He confesses. Joshua sends messengers. They run into Achan's tent. They uncover it. They bring it. And they lay it out. All of Israel. Joshua sees it. All of Israel sees it. And now they lay it out before the Lord. That's how we get right with God. We lay our sin out before the Lord. I wonder this morning, is there anybody that needs to lay your sin out before God? Well, Brother Gravely, I tell you, it's just because of this or that. That's not an explanation.
I see Achan's explanation, but I see his exposure. You see, God will, if we'll repent and get right with God, we can find forgiveness. But if we hide our sin and we tuck our sin away, and he thought it was in a pretty good place, amen. And by the way, you know where he hid this sin at? He hid it in his tent. He hid it in his home, amen. You can hide sin in your home, but I promise you, be sure your sins are going to find you out. It's going to come out, amen. It's like trying to lock a beast up in your house. It's not going to be contained forever, amen. It's going to grow. It's going to get bigger. It's going to find a way out. And that's what happens here. This sin comes out. And by the way, that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to make a fool out of every sinner by indulging them in that sin, pulling them in that sin, and then exposing them for all to see. But you rest assured, if the devil don't expose it, God will. You can't sin and get by with it. You have an affair, God's going to expose that. God's going to let people know about it. You fornicate, God's going to let people know about it. Oh, but I've got it hid pretty good. It's in my tent. It's down in the earth. It's covered deep. Nobody can see it. I want to say not only his explanation, his exposure, but then we see his execution. Look at verse 25. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they stoned him with stones. The Valley of Achor. When we think about the Valley of Achor, the Hebrew word for trouble is Achor. The name of that valley and the man's name are both, therefore, as it comes together, it's the Valley of Trouble. Joshua looks at him before they stone him and his family and burn everything with fire. He says, "Why have you troubled Israel this day? The Lord is going to trouble you." Look at me this morning. You know, sometimes people do things, they get out in sin, they don't get right with God, and things happen in their life, and people say, now we don't want to judge them. I'm not going to judge them. But I know who did. I ain't a fool this morning. Are y'all with me? I'm not going to judge him, but I'm not a fool this morning. A man fall into sin one time, and in less than 24 hours, a tragic accident happened, and he said to me, he said, "Preacher, now that's not because of this." I didn't say it. You did. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe this morning that we ought to be scared to death of sin. I think we ought to take it seriously. It'll put fear in all of our heart this morning. Amen. I'm not preaching something to you with an attitude that I'm above you. I'm telling you this morning, when I think about the life of Achan, I think the execution. You say, "Well, is that what we're supposed to do to people?" No, but that's what sin does to people. Amen. Sin will cut your life short. Amen. Sin will shorten your days. You young people, listen to me. You get out there and you live as you please and do as you will, and you waller in sin, you rest assured there's coming a day. Amen. That sin will bite you like an adder. Amen. That sin will take you down. That sin will shred you to pieces. That sin will take your life. I'm talking about this morning. We ought to have a great fear of sin. Amen. I see the sinner. And then I see the sadness in our text finally. Notice the sadness in this text. And here's what I want you to see about the sadness. In verse 24, I want you to think about what Achan did. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah. Now watch this. And the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold. That's the first thing they take out. In my mind, I see them walking out. And they're walking down into this valley here. And there's a solemn march. All is quiet. For all Israel knows what's going to take place. The only sound is the sound of sobbing tears as they walk down through that rocky valley. Leading that is Joshua, no doubt with a heavy heart. For today is not a day that Joshua wants to be the leader and commander of the nation of Israel. He leads, and behind him are those other men. In the midst of them is Achan and his family, and everything that belongs to him, his animals and all of his possessions. And amongst them leading the way behind Joshua, they're carrying this Babylonian garment, this silver, and this gold. When I think about this morning, I think about the I consider this morning what he did. The Bible mentions he took this garment, he took this silver, and he took this gold. And we don't think that much about what he did, but I promise you this morning, every step that Achan took, as he hears the sobbing of his children behind him and his family, as he hears the nation mourning as they walk down through that valley, with every step that he takes, he looks at that garment, he looks at that gold, he looks at that silver, and he's thinking about what he did, how that he cost 36 men their lives. He's thinking about his sin. I want to tell you something this morning, friend. When you're sinning, you don't think about sin. Amen. You don't think about the weight of that sin and what you're doing. But you mark it down. There's coming a day when you'll think long and you'll think hard and you'll wish to God 1,000 times that you never seen that, that you never went that way, that you never turned that computer on, that you never smiled at that lady, that you never looked at that man. I'm telling you this morning, sin is not fun. Sin is fatal this morning, friend. You better think about what you're going to do. You better think about what you're doing. You better get right with God this morning. Amen. I feel such a burden. Such a burden this morning. And I think about what Achan did. Then I think about where Achan died. Look at verse 24. The Bible says here that they took him and they brought him in the latter part of that verse into the valley of Achor. You know what's sad about the text? Is where Achan dies. He dies in Canaan. He didn't die in the wilderness. He died in Canaan. So what do you mean, Brother Gravel? I mean he died in a good place. He died in a land of promise. He died in a place of victory. He died there. I want to tell you this morning, when people get out in sin, you see them leave the church, and the next time you see them, maybe you see them on social media, and they're drinking, and they're partying, and they're having a time, and they're smiling like a possum, amen. They never smiled for a long time as they sit in the house of God, but all of a sudden, they're wallowing out in their sin, and they're so happy in how they're living and what they're doing. I want to tell you something about that. You think about, they didn't die out there in the world. They didn't go out in the world. That's not where they died. They died right here in Canaan. They died in a good place. They died in a land of promise. They died in a place of victory. I'm telling you this morning, if you're sitting here and your heart is wanting the far country, if your heart is wanting that world, if you done forgot about it, I can't wait to get out of the choir. I can't wait to get out of Sunday school. I can't wait to leave this old-fashioned church and get out there. There's some things I want to do. Or maybe you're here, but your heart's not here because you're already committing some heinous sin this morning. Think about where you're going to die. I've watched people down through the years. I can't explain this to you other than to say it's God. But I've watched people down through the years as a pastor and not know what they're doing. But I'm telling you, sure as I'm standing here with the King James Bible in my hand, I knew they was into something they shouldn't have been into. So how you know that, Brother Gravely? They're counting as witness against them. They went from loving the things of God to that look of dread. That look of, I want out of here. Y'all ever seen that? They went from singing in the choir and sometimes raising their hand and praising God till all of a sudden they just looking down a song book. Next thing you know, turn around one service and they're not there. They're sitting out there. And then they're moving a little further to the back. It's no reflection if you're sitting in the back, if that's where you started. But I'm telling you, if you started here and you end up there, I'm getting concerned about you. I'm just being honest with you. So, Brother Gravely, that don't mean I'm out in sin. No, but I don't know that. And they start inching and inching. Somebody's got to sit in the back. I get that. I understand that. But I think you know what I'm talking about, too. I'm not saying everybody sitting in the back is not right with God. I think you know well what I'm talking about. When people start moving closer to that door. Oh, their hearts done gone. They done died in Canaan. And I know unless God sends a miracle, a message by their way and gets a hold of them, I know as sure as, I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here this morning, I know they're as good as gone. And Brother Daniel, there ain't a thing I can do about it. I pray this morning, if there's anybody like that, I'm not praying it right now. I'm telling you, I prayed it this morning. I prayed it every day this week. I prayed it the whole 4 weeks I've been preaching out of this book right here. I'm going to tell you what I pray. I prayed over and over, God, if there's anybody in our church, and I don't know nothing this morning. I'm telling you, God is my witness. I don't know nothing. But I prayed, God, if there's anybody in this church thinking about getting off into some heinous sin, Lord, I pray you scare the living daylights out of them. Amen. I'm just preaching to you the way people preached to me growing up. I'm telling you this morning, that's the problem in our churches. People don't fear sin like they used to. And it ain't altogether their fault. A lot of them ain't heard any preaching on it in forever. You young people, you need to get nervous. I remember men of God getting up and preaching. I started doing inventory. Man, does he know something? Does he know something about me? Have I done something? I don't know about it, but he knows about it. Dear God, show me. You ever been like that?
Yes, sir.
Scare the. You need to be scared of sin. Think about where he died. You don't want to die in a good place. And then I want you to finally see this, and we're done. I want you to think about who he destroyed. Look at verse number 24 again, and we'll be through. The Bible said that they took that garment and that wedge of gold and silver, but this is so heartbreaking. And his sons and his daughters. He took his family out there. And I've often wondered about this text because Moses said, I think it was in Deuteronomy, that the children would not pay for the sins of the father, and the father would not pray, and the parents would not pay for the sins of the children. But that's what's happening here. So, Brother Gravely, the Bible didn't contradict itself. Here's the only conclusion I can come to, and maybe this is right, maybe it's not. I'm just putting it out there for you to think about. They're taking their lives for one of the two reasons, I believe. Number one, because they didn't say nothing about their daddy's sin. They watched it. Or number two, I've seen this happen a lot of times. Children be doing good, serving God, parents in church, and all of a sudden dad or mom brings something into their life that don't need to be there. Them children probably never would have went that route. They wouldn't have stole that garment. They wouldn't have stole that gold. They wouldn't have stole that silver. But he brought it. Remember where he put it? He put it in that tent in the earth. Maybe he uncovered it, put that garment on. They sat around in that tent and said, "Boy, children, look at this. Look at this garment." Uncovered it. Said, "Look at all that. Look at all that. That silver and that gold." He started getting them to look at that. You see, Babylon represented the world. And those things belonged to God. They didn't belong to Achan. They were to be brought into the house of God. But he took that sin and he brought it into his home. And no doubt he showed it to his children. And maybe they started first. Maybe they thought, "Oh, we're not supposed to have that. God's not pleased with that. That's not ours." But the more they looked at it, the more they saw it. Perhaps, I'm just saying, maybe perhaps, you know, a lot of people bring things in their homes, introduce things to their children, and they wonder why years down the road their children go astray. Now, your children may go astray by their own will and their own choice, but you make sure it's not because you brought things into your home that don't need to be there. I'm telling you, we could have revival in our churches if we just had a good purging in our homes. Think about it this morning. Is there anything in your home that would damn the souls of your children? If there is, throw it out the back door. Get rid of it. Set it on fire. Put it in a trash can. Are y'all with me this morning? I'm telling you this morning, you think about he destroyed his children's lives. He destroyed their lives. He destroyed the lives of 36 brethren. And then on top of that, that means if they were daddies, that means there are 36 families who no longer have a daddy. If they were married, that's 36 brides that no longer has a husband. I mean, he destroyed a lot of lives. What he brought in his home. I wonder this morning. Be sure. I read this message and worked on this coming down the road this morning. And as I was coming down the road, I thought to myself, "Dear God, I don't want to preach this sermon without evaluating my own life. I don't want anything, and I mean this with all my heart. I'm not saying this because I'm spiritual. I'm saying this because I'm flesh this morning. I don't want anything in my life or in my home that grieves God or would destroy the lives of the brethren. I don't want to hinder this church. And I sure don't want to hinder my home as we stand this morning. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The old song is, "Is thine heart right with God?" It's a hard invitation, but it's a needed one. Is there anything you need to deal with? You don't have to tell me anything, but you ought to tell God everything. You ought to lay it out before God this morning. You ought to just come to Him and say, "Lord, I'm going to be like Achan." See, you don't have to be stoned. There's mercy this morning. You don't have to be bit by sin if you'll just deal with that sin. But if you don't, I promise you, if you don't deal with your sin, go ahead and put it on your calendar. Your sin is going to deal with you one day.